We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, it's still very, very good. I still love it. It's still the best song in closer walkout history right there, and we're going to keep using it because I love it. It's the PM team live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Chris Muller rolling solo today. Cale Berger has been on the ones and twos and providing commentary, especially on social media-related things, because if you don't follow that Friday Beers account or whatever, Cale has been featured on it now with his big Icy Light Mango shorts that he's very, very proud of. That did not, unfortunately, help him get a title at Jamfest, nor did it help him make a single shot in the periods where I was watching their game. I know he made a bunch. Pony stressed to me that he couldn't even talk trash on Cale for that. I just didn't see him make a single one. Not that I'm trying to air Cale out on the air or anything like that either, though. I would never actually do that to such a nice young man who's been featured on Friday Beers.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
You can follow us on Twitter, of course, at 93.7 The Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Hey, Cale, now that I'm done gently mocking you, let's hear Mike Tomlin when he laid out his quarterback plan earlier today and paraphrased, summarized what he was going to do with the most talked about, looked at, and scrutinized position on the field as the Steelers get ready for the biggest preseason game, and the first, technically, in Acrisure Stadium history.
You know, we got every intention of maybe the first group playing a quarter, the second group's playing second and third quarter, and then the third group playing the fourth quarter. There'll be some bleeding, if you will, of the guys. If there's a first-teamer that lacks experience, he may play into the second quarter. If there's a third-teamer who's on the come with some upside, he might get in the game in the third quarter, things of that nature.
So that telegraphs that Mitch Trubisky's obviously going to start. He's a first-teamer. Why do we know this? Well, he's taken all of the first-team reps. That kind of helps you suss things out there. There has not been a quarterback competition. Okay. You can also glean from that answer that actually maybe Mason Rudolph's going to play the longest in this game. He'll take the middle chunk of it, and so will the rest of the second team. And then Kenny Pickett will mop up in the fourth quarter and get his first taste of NFL action, albeit preseason, albeit against a team that I think might win two or three games this year, the Seahawks, who are truly putrid, truly wretched. And all of Pete Carroll's fun little antics, like taking off his shirt when he met DK Metcalf, won't seem as fun when they're trudging through loss after loss. Let's see the 12th man try to dig its way out of that one. Ooh, boy, I bet it'll be so intimidating to play there when they're getting pasted 42-6. Anyway, that I don't know why I went after Pete Carroll so hard there, but that was kind of fun. So here's my thing. If you are a Steelers fan, you have gotten accustomed to the first preseason game, and really a lot of the preseason games, meaning very little when it comes to the starting quarterback. Maybe you'd get Ben Roethlisberger playing just for a series or two at most in the third preseason game when there used to be four. Now I guess it might be the second one. I don't know how you'd even shake that out. But really, Ben didn't play because Ben didn't need to play. Because Ben basically was the offense and the offensive coordinator. He did what he was comfortable with. There was no acclimation period for most of his career, especially the later chunk where he sort of had really, I guess, ascended to elder statesman QB, where it's, hey, it's going to be my way. I'm not 26 or 27 with some titles, but still maybe some stuff, not stuff to prove, but sort of some rust to knock off. He was that guy who was sort of the venerable old guy at the position, the way Rodgers, Brady have turned into whatever, Peyton Manning at the end. So you didn't even think about Ben in the preseason because there was no reason to think about Ben in the preseason. Those days are gone. Mike Tomlin has only known that style of management for Ben Roethlisberger in games that don't count. Mitch Trubisky, if you haven't checked, is not Ben Roethlisberger. And while Mike Tomlin might have it in his head that playing Mason Rudolph for the bulk of this game, for those two quarters, and the rest of the second team is his plan, I would stress this. If you don't see from Mitch Trubisky what you really like, it might be time to, what, some guys will bleed a little bit into other quarters. One guy I would want to see bleed into the second quarter is Mitch Trubisky if the first quarter don't look all that hot. Because speaking of, Mitch Trubisky hasn't. I know he went 4 of 4 in 7 shots today. How lovely. That was nice. Good job. Congratulations on all your success. But a guy who was supposed to be Mr. August, a guy who was supposed to be defined in part, good and bad, by the fact that he would look good when the lights didn't go on and not so good when they were on, he hasn't looked good in that first part. He hasn't looked good in the part that's supposed to be his. Mitch Trubisky's 4 of 4 today in 7 shots is one of the most encouraging things he's done since training camp started. Mitch Trubisky looked good in OTAs. He looked good in minicamp. He looked good at the time where a guy going into his 6th year in the league should look good. When everybody else is sort of like this, it would be like one of those scenes in a Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield or Van Wilder, where you're seeing all these freshmen come in at orientation and OTAs, and nobody acts, what am I supposed to do? This is my dorm. This is my RA. And there's 6th-year guy Van Wilder just skateboarding around, drinking, you know, doing beer from a funnel, better than Pony did it, by the way, in that video, and so on, right? Because he's been there, done that. That's why he's able to operate that way. When that was the case, when that was the situation, it was OTAs, it was football in shorts to the extreme, Mitch Trubisky looked good. When things have even picked up a little bit here, he has started to look less impressive. You don't have a body of work. You don't have a familiarity factor. You don't have any of those things with Mitch Trubisky. You have a pretty checkered career with the Bears. You have 1 year where he sat as Josh Allen's sort of Gatorade fetcher, clipboard holder, baseball cap wearer, where he and Brian Daboll both got an unimaginable amount of shine off of all of Josh Allen's accomplishments. You have that guy with that resume, he should have to prove it a little more. I'm not so worried about, the reason you didn't play Roethlisberger was obvious in the preseason. Nothing to prove, and if he gets hurt, goodbye season. With Mitch Trubisky, you don't have either of those sort of worries. He has plenty to prove, or factors, I should say. He has plenty to prove, and if he gets hurt, it sucks. You don't want to see anybody get hurt, but it's not the end of your season because there's a prevailing sentiment that he might only play 4 to 6 games anyway. If it's the Mitch that has shown up more often than not in his 50 starts so far, he's not going to last because he's going to be underwhelming. So if he hasn't, I would feel differently about this. If Mitch Trubisky had throughout, this is I think the 12th day, or it was this, today might be the 13th day, I'm losing count, for training camp practices. If Mitch Trubisky had been balling out this whole time, if Mitch Trubisky, if the reports we were getting from the Jeff Hathorns of the world, the Josh Roundtrees of the world, Josh will join us in 15 minutes right here on the PM team, the Mark Cabalis of the world, the Brooke Pryors of the world, everybody that's there on a day-to-day basis, Alex Cazora sitting in the stands, of course, we like to mention him from time to time. If the reports we were getting were that Mitch Trubisky was carving up the first-team defense, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. This dude looks like a stud. He suddenly looks every bit like a guy who was picked 2nd overall. I would feel differently. I'd give you the old 2 series and done. You've gotten the contrary, though. You really have. You've gotten Mitch Trubisky has looked shaky. Mitch Trubisky has fallen back to the pack. Mason Rudolph on a given day has looked better. Kenny Pickett's looked better. Mitch has had a splash play here or there, but Mitch has at no point looked like a man in complete control. Since that's been the reality, you have to act accordingly if you're Mike Tomlin. You can't afford, you've got three of these games. We know Mike Tomlin loves practice, loves stadium situations. He's got 18 different euphemisms for what it means to play a football game against another team in a structure designed for a football game. Stadium ready this. Maybe you're going to outrun Doppler in the process, although Doppler's looking real nice for Saturday. Don't ask me why I've been religiously checking the forecast for tomorrow and Saturday, please. But for a guy that values this so much, this part of the football process, this part of the learning and acclimation process, all of it, for a guy that values that, you would think he would hold Trubisky to a different standard, that he would be a guy, a candidate, to have his day on Saturday's night bleed into a longer experience if he doesn't bring it. You've got three of them. You don't know what you have here. Mitch Trubisky is the definition of an unknown commodity. And if you're somebody saying, well, he's got 50 starts, yeah, but I've been told that most of those 50 starts are null and void because of how horrible Matt Nagy was to him. Oh, he was held back by bad coaching. He was in such a not ideal situation. Fine. Make him prove that he's going to turn this one much better. That's my bottom line here. I would normally be the guy saying the following. I would normally be the guy going, God, I cannot wait for the preseason to end. This sucks. I hate it. It's stupid. It's football that is pointless. I still will bet on it. Steelers minus 3.5, whatever. Like, I'll do all those things. But I hate this. Get this over with. With Trubisky right now, it feels like we actually need to evaluate this here. Because if he looks really bad again in an actual game situation, then I think you have to, if you're Mike Tomlin and you're his staff and you're Matt Canada, I actually think you have to take a long, hard look at this. They won't, of course. Like, the way that would manifest with them is they would probably play him even more in the second game, play him in the third game, and try to work out the kinks. If he looks terrible in this setting, you start to wonder about him, you start to wonder hard about Matt Canada's offense, and you start to take a much longer look at the other two guys on your depth chart. Ben Roethlisberger never played in the preseason. Mitch Trubisky ain't Ben Roethlisberger. He needs to go. And if he doesn't show, he needs to go a little bit longer. Until he does. And if he doesn't, there are problems. Real quick here, the other thing is, I just got done with that soliloquy about old Mitch. He is not the person I am going to be watching most closely in this game. That would be the offensive line. A line that was horrible last year, whose lowlights were many, and a line that got rebuilt with one Pro Bowl caliber player who might still be playing his less ideal position, James Daniels, if you believe Chicago Bears insiders who think he might be better as a center. A guy in Mason Cole who's a complete ham and eggs like lunch. Mason Cole is Doug Ligursky wearing another man's name and you know, jersey number. Seriously. When I think of Mason Cole, I just think of Doug Ligursky. He's a mauler. He'll go in there and try to maul somebody, and he'll be competent. Competent does not necessarily raise up the level of everybody else around you. Those are the two big replacements, and then they said, let's have two guys who, for varying reasons, in Dotson's case, he's been hurt, and according to the team, maybe he was a little out of shape, and he's just, I think they think he got too big for his britches too soon. So in his case, it's that. And in Kendrick Green's case, it's they played him out of position by his own admission. Let's have two guys who have flunked to some degree compete for one job. That was their big change to the offensive line. That doesn't sound like fixing all of your problems. That sounds like keeping your tackles, hoping one of them on the left side gets really good, hoping the right side one, your evaluation of him is way better than everyone else's, then throwing a bunch of clay into the middle and saying, boy, we hope this turns into a center and two guards. It'll be actually one thing I'm worried about, to go back to the Trubisky part of this exercise, about this first preseason game. One thing I'm genuinely concerned about, because we've talked about this with Pickett a lot in that third team O-line, which is just all atrocious players. I mean, that is a bad – that third team line, even by third team line standards, is bad. I don't know if they'd be able to hack it in the XFL. You'll doubtless be seeing some of them in one of those minor league football organizations. We've talked about how that might hinder Kenny Pickett's development early on, put him out there with guys that are better so you can get a better gauge of him. it might be fair to say that Mitch Trubisky you're not going to get a fair handle on after one preseason game because the guys tasked with protecting him aren't any good. I have big concerns about that part of this roster because what they were last year and what the Steelers did to fix them do not match up. Not a great scenario. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Coming up next, Josh Rountree. He and Jeff Hathorn have been just doing awesome work at Steelers training camp, putting up a ton of good stuff online at 937thefan.com. They bring the goods. They tell it to you straight. They got big opinions on what they're seeing. We'll get a report on what Josh Rountree saw today coming up next. But first, I want to tell you about Shorkey Mitsubishi because they've got not one, not two, but three locations where you can take advantage of sizzling summer deals on the most affordable all-wheel drives in the market. They have four locations if you count online at ShorkeyMitsubishi.com. If you're looking for a 39 miles per gallon Mirage, help at the pump, they got it. If you're looking for a road trip ready 7-passenger Outlander, maybe you have two young sons, two dogs, lots of stuff, perhaps golf clubs you'd love to take, the Outlander can be right for you. If you're looking for those or anything in between, they've got them at any of their three convenient locations, North Huntington, the North Hills, and Uniontown. And every Mitsubishi is backed by an unbeatable 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Guess what? Even easier to buy a new car right now because trade values are the highest they've been in years. Shorkey Mitsubishi can prove it, and they want to prove it to you with a no-obligation written appraisal in 10 minutes or less. If you're looking for a great price, value, and warranty, they've got three convenient locations to get it done. North Huntington, the North Hills, and Uniontown. It's your deal, your way. What a great day. Check it out at ShorkeyMitsubishi.com. Now a fan headline with Cale Berger.
The Pirates are into the fifth inning, and JT Brubaker is still going strong. They have a 3-2 lead over the Diamondbacks, trying to split this four-game series out in Arizona. Also, Mike Tomlin today announcing prior to Steelers practice that Mitch Trubisky will start the Steelers' first preseason game against Seattle on Saturday night. Then it'll be followed by Mason Rudolph, and then Kenny Pickett will mainly run with the third team. Fan headlines powered by Bowser Chevrolet, your Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters. Get more fan headlines at 937thefan.com. Pony?
Hey, it's Andrew Filippone for Wetco Car Wash. I love having a clean car, but I also don't like taking the time to clean it on my own. First of all, I don't do a good job. I'm out there. I'm in my driveway. I've got the hose out and the sponge and soap, wax. I'm not getting every spot. It dries off. I look at it. The car usually looks worse than when I started. So I just go to Wetco. Why not when it's so convenient, so easy, so affordable? For less than a dollar a day, you can get your car washed with the Unlimited Pass. That's no joke. Plans start as low as $17.99 a month. So you go every day for 30 days. That's huge savings. That makes it well worth it. I stop every day. It's on my way home. It's on my way home from work. The 40-plus Wetco locations, there's no reason for me not to have a clean car. With their vacuums, too, those are free. Love going. Wetco Car Wash. Wetco Pros, 40-plus locations. Sign up today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hey, getgocafe.com/unlimited. Wetco Car Wash.
PM team, Chris Muller, rolling solo. You can stop out to Iron Rock Tab House in Greensburg as Paul Zeiss broadcasts live starting at 6 o'clock. Great food and drinks, plus the best sports talk around, brought to you by Smale Kia, Route 30 in Greensburg. Visit SmaleCars.com for your chance to win a $1,000 gas card to Get Go Cafe and Market from Smale Kia. Jim Colony was on earlier on this show. Interesting note about tomorrow's Friday show. We'll have to see. Donnie will be back. He's out today. Kale's producing. Kale's doing a fine job despite the fact that I have just mercilessly busted his chops all show. But Donnie will be back. Pony won't be. He's in New Orleans. I won't be. I will be at redacted location. It marks the first time in the history of this show, which is almost now 4 years. I think it's September 4th will be 4 years, that it wasn't a major holiday. And both of us are off. So we said, well, who's a large enough presence to fill the shoes of two extremely opinionated, loud human beings who are both been described by Playboy magazine as charismatic, handsome, perhaps the future of radio? Who was laughing here? We settled on Jim Colony. And Jim is going to be on from 2 to 6, I believe he said he was efforting for an in-depth one-on-one sit-down with Mason Rudolph, which, if he pulls that off, that's like going to be like extracting water out of the rock to get good answers from Mason. Jim Rome couldn't do it. If Jim Colony does it, man, we got a whole ball of wax, different ball of wax here. But Jim had some trouble getting his phone connected, which seems to be a theme for training camp today. Anyway, me telling you that Jim is going to be in for us tomorrow is today's peak moment presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Josh Rountree, Steelers insider at 93.7 The Fan. He and Jeff Hathorn doing yeoman's work at training camp, keeping you covered from all angles, hitting a ton of good stories up there on 93.7thefan.com. He's ready to go now after battling some Colony-esque phone issues. Who starred today, Josh? What was the big takeaway from camp today?
Well, right now it's the massive flying V that's coming over my head, so hopefully you can't hear that, but we're getting bombarded by ducks here. Maybe that's something to do with the cell issues we've been having. But stars today, that's, you know, it's a good question. I think, you know, defensively there's a couple of guys that have started to I think, stand out a little bit to me, and I think part of that goes into the depth side of things. I think we're seeing, you know, maybe a little bit more depth start to emerge. One guy that I'm really curious to watch on Saturday is Delonte Scott. He ended up getting some first team reps with TJ Watt getting an early break today from the action. So he's a guy as an outside linebacker with a position that really needs some depth that I think has looked pretty good so far in camp and looked really good today. Offensively, for starters, once again at the running back position, Jaylen Warren just continues to shine. I mean, this guy, I think I would be very surprised now unless he clearly cannot play any special teams and gets into the preseason game and fumbles or something like that. I would be very surprised if Jaylen Warren does not make this football team, especially with Benny Snell's status being somewhat up in the air right now, Chris. Snell was not on the field at all today. I saw him leave yesterday with a heavy wrap on his right knee. He was limping pretty good. So Jaylen Warren is a guy that I think really no matter what, probably – unless something really crazy happens, is going to make this football team. And then also, I think Mitch Trubisky had a really good day. I thought Mitch Trubisky, you know, he found out, I guess, earlier in the day that he's going to start Saturday, and he came back and from that, and I thought he played really well. I thought he executed the seven-shot drill really nicely. They scored four touchdowns with him. He threw two of them to George Pickens, who continues to just, you know, every time he's out on the field, he does something pretty spectacular, it seems like. But Trubisky, I thought overall had, at least from what I have seen to this point, his best day here at camp. And that's, I think, a really positive sign as they ramp up towards his first unofficial but official start as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Josh Rountree joining us right now on the PM team. Josh, what do you make of Mike Tomlin's plan where it seems like it's first team for one quarter, second team for the middle two quarters, third team, the Scrabinos, if you will, along with Kenny Pickett in the fourth quarter? Do you like that plan? Do you think Tomlin will stick to that plan, or there will be a lot of bleeding in and out?
Yeah, no, I think that's probably what we'll see for the first game. I think as we get into games two and then maybe game three, if they're set on Mitch Trubisky being the starter, then he probably won't play game three. I would guess maybe a series, maybe two in that third game. So for right now, I think that's probably the route they're going to go. You know, I think I said this yesterday. I tweeted this out yesterday, Chris, that if I had to rank the quarterbacks by just their performance, not necessarily where I think they should fall on the depth chart, if I had to rank their performance with the groups that they've played with from start to now, I would probably say that it's Mason Rudolph 1, Kenny Pickett 2, Mitch Trubisky 3. Trubisky made a pretty good push today, so I think that it convolutes things perhaps just a little bit now in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, I think for game number one, that's probably fine. I think, more than anything, I think they want to get Pickett into a game situation. They want to see what he can do when he's out on the field with fans in an NFL football game. So you put him in there as the third-team guy for now. You see what he can do with the third team, which is no easy task because the third-team offensive line is not very good. But maybe he can make some plays, and then you go from there. If he performs well with the third team, then I think in game number two of the preseason, you might see maybe a little bit more of Kenny Pickett after that. But I don't know that it's the wrong strategy. I would personally like to see more Pickett with the second team. I think he's looked pretty comfortable when he's been in that situation, but obviously, they have a pretty good eye on him, and I think there's some things that they want to iron out first before they throw him into those waters.
Josh, the thing I have with Trubisky and how Tomlin seems sort of dead set on planning to use him in this game, just play the first quarter, it looks like, unless something really extreme happens one way or the other, is this. He's not a known commodity. He hasn't largely been very good. You just ranked him third in camp, even though you said he had his best day so far. This isn't Roethlisberger. There's not that level of investment in the player financially or years-wise. I would want to see, if he doesn't play that well, say the first two series in this preseason game are three and out, I want him to show a little bit more, even if it takes more than a quarter. Like, this is the guy that you have anointed in action and in word, it seems, as your starter.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially because I think he just needs the reps. I mean, look, they only have so many padded opportunities here. They only have so many reps to divide up and to go around. And, he goes out there for seven shots, and some days he takes four opportunities from the goal line, and some days he takes three. And, that's the most out of anybody, but it's not like he's out there running it time after time after time. I mean, it's a limited sample, even though they are up here for what seems like a very long period of time. It is still somewhat of a limited sample on actual live reps that they get in this setting. So I'm with you. I mean, I would like to see, if he's the guy that's going to be their number one quarterback, yeah, I would like to see him get an extended look. And maybe that comes in preseason game number two. If he fares well on Saturday, then maybe that second preseason game, they say, hey, let's run this out a little bit. And I think there's maybe some optimism, some hope, too, that they'll have more of a complete first-team offense for that second game. I mean, and I talked to Trubisky about this earlier today, Chris. I asked him point blank. I said, do you feel like the growth of this first team offense has been limited by all of the injuries? And he said, yeah. He readily admits that because of the injuries to Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and Pat Freiermuth, I mean, even, Najee Harris and Zach Gentry, I mean, he has not had a complement of receivers, of skill position players that he is supposed to have with this team.
Oh, he's had George Pickens. That's enough for anybody.
Well, George Pickens is nice, yes, but I think that he needs more weapons around him. This guy is not an elite-level quarterback. He needs as much help as he can get, and I think just to get in that rhythm, into that flow with the first-team offense, he needs guys available. And he said, look, the only way that you can help this team really at the most is if you're out there on the field with us. So I think there's maybe some growing frustration in that regard, and that's nobody's fault. I mean, injuries are injuries, but I do think that Trubisky has some frustrations in that, every day he's seeing, well, Trubisky struggling. And then really, when he's out there, he's not getting to play with the guys that he's intended to play with.
Josh, is there any, or to what degree is there a level of concern with the Freiermuth or especially the Claypool? For whatever reason, Claypool's injury just sticks out to me. Is there any significant level of concern that you can tell for any of those injured guys you just mentioned?
No, I don't think so. Freiermuth was out there today. He was going through things, so he's not going to play. I would be very surprised if he plays on Saturday. I think they kind of wanted to just ease him back into things today, but he was out there taking a little bit of contact and going through going through things. So I don't think that's anything significant. That was probably more precautionary than anything. Claypool might be a little farther away. I mean, the shoulder injury is taking, I think, a little bit of time to heal. But he was out on the field after practice, you know, just kind of running routes, jogging. He was playing catch with Chris Oladokun and kind of helping him out afterwards. He's out on the field helping as well during drill. So it's not like he's in a sling or anything like that. You know, whatever it is, I think they're probably just going to give him throughout this week. And I would anticipate that you would see him back on the field relatively soon here. I mean, if it was severe, I don't think we would see him out there catching passes on the field after practice. So that's probably more of a precautionary thing than anything. But at the same time, I mean, look, this is not a situation where you have Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. If these guys are, you know, if they're 90, 95%, I would kind of like to see them out there as long as there's no risk of re-injury or anything like that.
Our Steelers insider Josh Roundtree, you can make sure you catch his work at 93.7thefan.com, is joining us right now. This offensive line, I said this, Josh, this is sort of a thesis statement for today's show, is the thing I'm actually watching most closely, good or bad, in this preseason game. Not the quarterbacks, not George Pickens, not Devin Bush and Robert Spillane. It's the offensive line. I mean, where are you at with them right now? Are you feeling more optimistic having watched them a bunch? Do you see development happening? Or do I – you can hear the concern in my tone. Am I right to feel that way?
I have concerns as well. I do. And, look, I mean, there have been times where, from a run-blocking standpoint, the first team offensive line has looked pretty good. When Jaylen Warren's been back there a couple of times, he's ripped off some really big runs up the middle, right past Kendra Green at left guard and Mason Cole at center. And I think that's an encouraging thing. I also don't know how much of that is on the offensive line's improvement or the fact that this was the worst run defense in the league last year, and that's who they're going against, and maybe they haven't gotten better. I mean, that's what we have to find out Saturday, and what we start to find out Saturday, and what we probably won't really know for, you know, maybe even another couple of months here is how much better these groups are. What I can tell you is I definitely do have concerns, especially at right tackle with Chuke Secor for. He's struggling in pass blocking. T.J. Watt, and look, it's no easy assignment going against T.J. Watt. There's not a right tackle in the league that wants to line up across from number 90 in black and gold. But T.J. Watt's getting the best of him time after time after time, and Chukes is struggling. He has not, I don't think, had a very good camp, which is concerning coming off the contract that he signed, and it's not something that you want to see out of your starting right tackle to begin with. So overall, I'm not totally optimistic about this group of offensive linemen yet. But again, I want to see what they do in an actual game setting against a live defense that is not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Josh, what's your favorite Billy Joel song?
Hold on.
I shouldn't have put you on the spot. That's a Starkey-esque move. Give me your top three Joel songs.
Honestly, I'm not that big of a Joel fan, to be honest. But
there's a lot of people here at the Rivers Casino who are here to see Billy Joel, and they're going to go over after they have a couple drinks, and they're going to be singing Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, and they're going to be very pissed off to hear you say that, Josh. So you better recover and give us a good Joel deep cut that you like.
So,
you can even say 80s Joel if you want to.
We strictly play 80s Joel, sir. It's not a deep cut, but I do have a very special place in my heart for Piano Man. That was the last song that we played after my wedding when we all went out as a large group of friends. We were at a bar in Station Square, and we closed the place down playing Piano Man. So we all kind of got in a circle and sang along. So that always holds a very special place. I like Billy Joel. I'm just not that big of a fan. Like, I don't think I would pay to go, I guess. But it's nothing against him, because he's a great musician. It's just not my thing.
I think we closed out my wedding with Darude's Sandstorm and Ooh. People doing cartwheels and somersaults in the middle.
A Penn State thing?
No, that was a North Catholic thing. That was very much a North – no, Penn State has tried to claim Zombie Nation, Seven Nation Army. They have tried to claim multiple songs as being the creation of their student section. Are you aware that 108,000 people fit in Beaver Stadium, Josh?
That's
have you heard?
That's what I've heard. I've been to two games there before, and yeah, there were not 108,000 people at either of those games. But
yeah, 91,262 for Youngstown State doesn't sound as good as 108,000 strong.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna sell.
Josh, last thing for you, and this is more of a broad-based question. So you've had a good number of practices you've seen out there now. You've gotten a chance to, I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you've gotten a chance to make some maybe more wholesale evaluations of players, at least as far as they've performed at camp, right? And Tomlin talks mm-hmm. about how he wants to see him in a stadium. He loves to say stadium-like environment, et cetera, teams in other color uniforms trying to stop them, blah, blah, blah. Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, any significant movement from the start of camp until right now, Josh, from Devin Bush to, like, show you that he has a pulse, that he understands he's in a serious competition, that, like, his future in the NFL in some ways might be at stake?
Yeah, I mean, look, he has not at any point to me looked like a top 10 pick out here. He has not looked like that player. That's not to say that he doesn't look like a respectable starting inside linebacker in the NFL. Like, I've heard people say, he's a disaster. You know, he's going to be the biggest bust in Steelers history. Like, I think we need to pump the brakes on that a little bit. Like, I don't think it's been as bad with Devin Bush as some people want to say. And I do think that he has a place in this defense. I do think we could see more Robert Spillane maybe than we anticipated, and I don't think that's necessarily a knock on Devin Bush. I think that's because Robert Spillane's had a pretty good camp. He plays the run really, really well, and I think if they're going up against a team that is a run-heavy team, that you might see more Robert Spillane than Devin Bush. And part of that, yes, is a knock against Bush, because when you draft a guy in the top 10, you expect him to be an every down linebacker and a big part of your defense, a huge part of your defense from years to come. But, you know, I do want to see him get into live game action. Like, I want to see him, you know, from the press box at Acrisure Stadium out there on the field going up against the live offense on the other side. I think things change, so I'm not ready to give up on him in that regard yet. I don't think it's been as disastrous as people think, but it could definitely be better. I mean, there's definitely moments where I think, you know, man, like, you know, Bush was a little slow getting there, or he gets beat in a one-on-one situation by a running back, and you're just like, man, like, okay, in a game situation, that can't happen, and it happens out here from time to time. So has it been great? No. Has it been terrible? No. It's just kind of been somewhere in the middle, and if he can progress from that, then I don't think that's such a bad thing right now. It's just a matter of, can he, you know, start to build and build back to somewhere close to where he was before the injury.
I need to see him just be physical. I want to see him be willing to put a hat on a guy. That's been by far the biggest, like, marker or tell for me with Devin Bush is, does Devin Bush look like he wants to put a stick, you know, put the stick on somebody?
Yep. No, I agree with you. I mean, that was my biggest knock against his defense last year is that, you know, yeah, they were banged up front, but you can put a Band-Aid on that a little bit if you have a linebacker who is willing to go play downhill and just, you know, put his head down and knock the crap out of somebody. And Devin Bush was never that player throughout the course of last year. He played timid. I thought he played scared at times. He did not at any point look comfortable. And I talked to him back in minicamp, and he said that. I mean, he said that he did not really at any point last year feel confident running on that knee. And I think, you know, look, a lot of people have criticized him. There's been some things, rightfully so, to criticize him for. But I do think that's a very real issue with some athletes is when they come off a serious knee injury, they play tentative and they don't trust themselves fully. And I think maybe Saturday, if he gets out there and he runs around a little bit and he lays a shoulder into a couple people, that he starts to get it. And that's what you have to hope if you're the Steelers and Devin Bush, because they're at a very, very crucial spot right now where, you know, they're maybe not going to be as good as they'd like up front as far as the run game goes, but he could help a ton in that regard. But you're right, Chris. He has to be physical. He has to play downhill, and he cannot play timid and scared like he did last season.
You have to watch one, and you can only watch one. The Field of Dreams game tonight or the Steelers-Seahawks game? Or no. Any random non-Steelers preseason game, which are you watching?
I'm gonna go with the preseason game because
good
it's the
answer.
I thought the Field of Dreams game was awesome last year. It was when they did it for the first time, I thought it was a really cool event. I love that movie. And so I watched it last year.
I hated that movie really because good. No one says, want to have a catch. They say, do you want to play catch?
Well, okay. That's fair.
I think they should have a major league game, and they should have never torn down Cleveland Municipal Stadium, actually technically County Stadium in Milwaukee where that was filmed, and they should have teams reenact that movie every year.
I actually just watched – I literally 3 nights ago, I think it was on –
because it was
TV.
On Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Because you were watching it the same as I was before I went to go do the sports call, and I had to – I DVR'd the last half hour because I had to leave my house just to watch it again.
Yeah, it is. It's an elite sports film. I heard Starkey and Ron talking earlier about their favorite baseball movies, and it didn't even get mentioned.
Major League should be number one. It's better than any of those. It's better than any of those movies because it does one thing that too many baseball movies don't do. It never takes itself too seriously. Because all those other movies get caught up in this nonsense about the deeper meaning of baseball. Major League is a guy talking to his bat. Guy telling Dorn, you know, enough of that Ole crap. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful movie.
Roger Dorn is one of the all-time detestable characters, but comes back with a huge redemption after he punches Vaughn at the end and then gives him a hug. Like, you hate the guy, and then at the end of it, you know, he puts his body on the line, and then he punches Vaughn for his actions with Dorn's wife, and they embrace out on the field. So...
That's real life.
Story at the end for
Josh.
That's how it goes in major league clubhouses.
Josh, thank you very much.
Wait, so what is this? Colony. He's filling. So I heard you mention the Mason Rudolph thing.
Yes.
Colony got it. He got that interview. It's coming tomorrow. Mason Rudolph and Colony one on one. They were out on the field. They were out on the field for a long time. The longest interview I've seen any single person conduct here at Steelers training camp, Jim Colony and Mason Rudolph. So,
In the interview do you think Colony brings up his hole-in-one that Mason congratulated him for?
It has to be within the first 30 seconds. I heard that there was a butt slap involved.
Whose butt was slapped? Who did the slapping? Who was the slapper and the slappy?
I believe Jim got his butt slapped, a congratulatory slap from Mason.
Oh, my God.
Hold
on, Josh.
This is the same guy that got a hug from Antonio Brown once in the locker room. A hug.
I believe Jim got his butt slapped by Mason, correct?
That is the rumor that I have heard.
Holy crap. All right.
I mean, this guy got a hug from Antonio Brown and a butt slap from Mason Rudolph.
I mean,
it's legendary.
I can't think of anything to add to that wouldn't get me in very big trouble with the FCC and our bosses, so I'm going to leave it right there, Josh. Thank you.
I think that's a good leaving off point. Thanks, Chris.
Josh Rountree, Steelers Insider. Check out his work, Jeff Hathorn's work. It's excellent. Those guys are doing an awesome job at 93.7thefan.com, covering camp from every conceivable angle. Did anybody else have Jim Colony getting his butt slapped by Mason Rudolph today during an interview? No. Josh Rountree had it, and now you do too because you listened to this show. That was really our peak moment today, but I already told you that. But I will tell you, Josh appeared on the Fan Hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Zeiss is next. Kale, how was it today, buddy? Did you survive?
Had a great time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.